Hey, all you metalheads out there, welcome back to the show. I hope you guys are enjoying some of the great music that I'm playing for you guys today. Well, I hope you're ready to hang out with me with some crazy fun rockers over there from Canada. I'm talking about the boys from Killinger. We're welcoming back lead vocalist Dave Williams from the band, and he's also brought along his little sidekick, drummer Chris Chalice. Okay, they're already just messing with me so bad right now.
I'm the guy that you smack on top of the head.
Yeah, smack right on top of the head and fucking kick your ass back to the drums. Get the fuck back there, Jesus Christ, you fucking sidekick. That's right, you stand right beside him and just give him that little fucking sidekick to the knee.
Oh, yeah, I had one of those freaking Billy Jack kicks to the head there with freaking Brian Tietje with Lynch Mob there a couple days ago. I was freaking back there.
Hey, guys, what's going on? You know you're live right now, right?
Oh, yeah. How are you doing? Hey, Laura, all right.
Hey, guys, what's going on?
We're in DJ Lovely Laura's lair, and it's beautiful down here.
Very
luscious. Nice red lights happening back here. I like the couch here. I like how it folds out into a sort of a sexual swing. I like
how this bar stool.
Really nice.
Look at this bar stool. Look at this bar stool's got like a point in the middle of it that comes up
that's
about 4 inches.
That's called the cone.
That's
called
the cone, Chris.
The room here was, I know what that is. Indian symbols.
Yes.
All right, you guys. So you did this great show. I know you guys are so anticipating this big show that you guys just did with Lynch Mob. So why don't you just one at a time just tell me what happened and how it all went down at Edmonton and Calgary.
Edmonton. Fucking Edmonton. Yeah.
Nothing happened. We didn't do nothing. We jammed on a bus and then we went home.
We had some stand-ins, man, like that fucking Kiss movie, man. We had some imposters and they fucking went up and did everything. We just hung out at home, collected.
They were lipsticking. It was Millie freaking Vanilli.
No, you go ahead, Chris. You fucking, your shit's fucking crazy.
Oh, no. Come on, ladies, let's go.
All right.
I tell you, it was.
Titties and beer.
It was awesome, and those guys were friggin' fantastic. You know, we flew them up here, hotel, motel them, tour bused them, wined them, dined them. The only thing we didn't get out of it was what rhymes with that. But James Lomanzo, friggin' George was awesome. Brian Tietje was friggin' hilarious, and then Mark. I mean, what more can you say about him? He's just a phenomenal guy.
Yeah.
Stellar people.
Yeah.
Great guys to work with, and even freaking more better to party with. We played Calgary, and that was fun. That was all right. I mean, they only had two rehearsals under their belt because they didn't bring up Oni. Oni wasn't feeling good. He couldn't get across the border. He didn't know how to smuggle 2 grams of hash up. So Mark had to smuggle drugs across the border. So he got the gig, I guess. But anyways, Calgary show went great. You know, we had a real, real slow sound check. They had to do some rehearsing and shit. But after we partied a bit down here, we didn't have much sleep. A couple hours, jumped on the tour bus, and that's when the shenanigans all began.
Ooh.
And I'll let Dave start to fill in here.
Well, you sit, idolizing George Lynch for years and years, in your teenage years.
Right.
Following him and then, sitting right, beside him on a bus.
Right.
Listening to him talk about just the most fucking outlandish shit, and just like, he became very human, because it's always, videos, pictures, whatever, internet, you see live videos, but you never really get to sit beside the guy. So beside the guy, you're like, holy fuck, I am fucking sitting beside fucking George Lynch, and James Lomanzo is right here, and George Lynch is talking about fucking anal bleaching in Malaysia.
Are you serious?
The guy's just like, his humor is like, he is a fucking genuinely fucking funny fucking guy, man. It was a really, surreal. But then, I had to go pass out, man. I was so fucked up. So I passed out on the bus and got into one of those bunks, and I'm not sure what happened until we woke up and got back to Edmonton. But, after the show, Brian Tietje, that guy, he came off that stage, and he was more pumped before, after, than before he went on. And I looked at him, and I knew this guy was fucking trouble, that there was going to be a whole mess of fucking alcohol, possible fucking alcohol poisoning, arrest, maybe get your fucking ass kicked. I'm not sure. I just, like, I'm not fucking hanging out here tonight. I let fucking Chris get fucking sucked up in that fucking tornado and shit just flying off the fucking wall. At the end of the gig, we're all in this, like, huge parking lot outside the venue, and got this gong, and this gong, I guess it must have been pretty expensive, we heard.
It was
a $500 gong, so we treated it like a $500 gong, right?
It's a gong show.
I think it was probably like a fucking $2,500 gong.
Yeah.
Oh, fuck. Did we fuck it up? Chris, you go ahead, man, because you're kicking that shit, man.
Well, we come outside, and Teachy wanted the gong, so we grabbed it off the tour bus. And they started drop kicking the gong to make it, you know, gong. So there was a couple chicks banging on it, and Tiki was drop kicking it, and I had to get in there. I couldn't make the thing do nothing. I didn't want to fucking break my toe. So I'm hanging on to this thing. Tiki's drop kicking it. I couldn't make it do nothing, so I grabbed this friggin' wrench, and I wail on this thing, and it looks like somebody shot it with a shotgun now. But
oh, yeah,
our tour manager came up. Got all pissed off, took it away. It was like taking the ice cream away from two little boys. You know, me and Tiki are looking at it, like, what? Fuck that shit. So
yeah,
I grabbed the 2-4 beer.
Yeah.
I grabbed the 2-4 beer, headed up to the hotel room. And then that's when the shit show started, right? I mean,
right.
Trying to drop kick lights off of beds, and I thought he broke his leg. And there's about 25 people in my room. Security's up banging on the door. Whoever's not registered in here, get the fuck out. And I'm like, okay, we're out of here. So we went to the next room. We had 12 rooms in that hotel.
Wow.
And so we went to the next room. We got kicked out of that room. Then we went to another floor, got kicked out of that room. And then they were going to evict everybody out of the hotel, period. They didn't care who was in a friggin' room.
Yeah,
George, everybody's out.
Yeah, lynch mob, get the fuck out of here. Yeah.
So, yeah. We kind of tamed it down a bit after that, but...
down to just maybe it was just one room to where, you know, the only thing that I think...
Naked in the hallway, that's all. That's
all. That was, you know, our tour manager had to fucking, you know, run up and down the fucking hallway naked.
So. He was about 4 feet tall, so it must have looked like a little troll fucking on video camera fucking running up and down the hallway.
Fucking hilarious.
Yeah, you guys pulled out the red carpet pretty good for Lynch Mob. Do you think the guys appreciated that?
Oh, God, yeah. I mean, they just said... you know, you guys are not only great musicians, but stellar people, and what they're looking forward to is a possible upcoming tour in Japan with us. They were quite excited about the red carpet treatment.
Yeah.
I mean, they've been traveling around.
Yeah,
they've been traveling around in a van, the U.S., and saving dough and staying in cheap hotels. So to get the bus and be treated with royalty and vanned everywhere.
Yeah, we put them up at the Hyatt, you know, really nice fucking, really nice hotel, and then we had them at the Fantasyland here in Edmonton, and, you know, of course, we rented, you know, just a fucking killer-looking tour bus, you know, for them, and you know, you don't really get a whole lot of that unless you're, you know, way up on the fucking pay scale, right, and, you know, with all these artists, they're still just so glad to be out and fucking playing in front of everybody, like George Lynch, he is a fucking monster, man. The guy is fit, toned like a motherfucker, and this is the thing about George. Up here in Canada, you're not allowed to smoke in the bars, but you know, so nobody told George that.
Right. So,
he didn't give a fuck, man. I'm up there. I'm playing guitar.
Right.
Who the fuck is going to walk up to me and say, George, you got to put out that smoke?
Right.
It was great. Everybody was not only in awe of the show, but in awe of what that guy's smoking on stage, man.
Yeah. He gets to smoke on stage. Yeah, George is great.
It was a great time, and you know, like Brian Tichy, he's the drummer for Lynch Mob. Just, you know, everybody, James Lomenzo, all those guys are just absolutely incredible. You know, they're your idols, you know, your peers. You know, you've been looking up to them for years, and then next thing you know, you're cracking jokes with a guy, taking pictures, you know, standing side by side. He's, you know, they're signing Lynch Mob shit. You know, we're signing our Killinger stuff. You know, just mayhem at the merch booth, you know, after each set. Just absolutely crazy. It was a fucking wicked time. But, you know, that was that. And, you know, the CD release parties were great. We had a great time with everybody, meeting a whole lot of people. But now it's on to the next one. So we are working fucking very diligently to get this done. And within the shortest time period that we have here, which is just a matter of just a few weeks, we're trying to set up something right now at the Hard Rock Cafe in Vegas.
That's awesome. I can't wait for you guys to get over here in the U.S.
And there's also another gig in L.A., which would be the Key Club. Now, these aren't haven't been confirmed on paper just yet, but they are in the talks, and we are going to do our damnedest to do that and get down there and play those places and sell a bunch of CDs because we are going to do this Japan thing with Lynch Mob. We have to. There's just no way around it. The sales in Japan, I guess, are going pretty good for the CDs. So with having George on our album and the way George is when he's down there, like, the guy gets mobbed. He does, you know, guitar clinics, like, for 10,000 people.
Oh, yeah.
He brings their guitars down, and it's 10,000 Japanese there to watch, you know, George do a guitar clinic.
So, a lot of sushi, man.
Yeah.
Count me in. I like that shit.
I didn't see you doing any live kicking or jump set during your show, Dave. Did you tone it down a little bit? Were you afraid you're going to hurt that ankle again?
Playing Calgary, I don't know what the hell I was thinking. You know, I guess, you know, it's probably best that you don't get high before you leave for a big gig, because I left half my fucking shit here.
Yeah, I saw that post.
I left my fucking in-ears here. You know, just everything was left behind, and, you know, when I got damage done, obviously I got it all back, but I also had caught a cold and been, you know, just trying to, you know, will this cold away. You know, you're not going to take hold, you fucking motherfucking cold. You know, and, you know, I'm still a little bit nasal right now, but I did my best. A lot of people say, oh, I couldn't even tell. You know, and every time there'd be a solo or something, I'd be running to the side of the stage and just, you know, hacking up phlegm and come back out and run to the side of the stage. So
that was that word?
That's what that was, yeah.
Man, I thought I was just sweating. Oh, that was fucking gross.
So, Chris, what's it been like for you to come in the band so suddenly like you did and jumping in, doing that video, and what's that been like for you?
Oh, I tell you, this band is all about positively perseverance of Spinal Tap shit. I joined this band, and everything we do is over the top. I mean, our third gig together was with Lynch Mob. And our fourth gig. Our fifth gig will be Vegas.
Right.
So everything we do it on a quite a large scale. I'm not sure if you've seen the video some dude posted a iPhone video of the beginning of the show up in Edmonton with our pyro going off. I mean, it looks like
the pyro's amazing. Anyway, is that flames or is that actually smoke? I can't really see.
It's actually cryojet. It's super, super cold air.
Oh, cool.
But the way you light it kind of looks like flames, right? It's a gives you something better to look at. I'm just sick and tired of going out and seeing bands. Four or five guys on a stage just playing music. It's fucking boring.
Yeah.
Bring something to a show. Like, we're pretty much like the WWE of friggin' rock and roll again. We're bringing that shit back. But getting back to joining these guys, the first time we ever played together was in Toronto. I drove up to Edmonton, met Kevin and Dave, and I had met them prior at the Twisted Sister show in Calgary. We talked about a few things, but nothing was coming through. I was still playing in my Motley Crue tribute band. And I drove up to Edmonton one night. They handed me a CD, put me up in a 5-star, and it was pretty much, get me drunk, join the fucking band. And I said, well, you know, I'll let you know tomorrow. I didn't say yay or nay, and I got halfway back. I think I phoned Dave and said, okay, I'm in. And they said, great, learn this song. We'll see you in Toronto in 4 weeks.
Uh-huh.
The first time we even played together was shooting that video.
Yeah, right at the end of the video in the jail cell scenes. That was the actual, you know, time that all four of us were playing the song. Yeah.
And we just friggin' clicked.
It was,
it was like, you know, I don't know, man. It was like it clicked. The chemistry, everything happened for a reason, I guess. You know, it's been quite a few years that we've all played. But never had the time or whatever to get together and actually do this. And, I mean, it's luck, timing, and money when it comes to rock and roll. And everything seems to be working out pretty good.
Oh, yeah.
Working.
I think you guys are getting off to an awesome, awesome start. Dave, I was going to talk with you a little bit about some of the clothes and stuff that you're wearing on stage. Man, I'm really loving the skeleton jacket. And you had some really cool some gloves and stuff. Do you make some of that stuff yourself? Or who's your designer for that?
Wow, this is the first time anybody's ever asked me about my clothing. Well, there's some stuff that we've got off Jay Lang, and she's out of Vancouver. She makes a lot of clothing. She's I think we were there when we were there to pick up some stuff off her. She had just made something for Brian Adams, and you know, and made some clothes for him. So she's, you know, dealing with some big people.
Rock
the
creates.
Other stuff that I wear is basically, it's either lip service or it's Trip, and I just mix and match and just put it on. But you know, as in the vests or anything else, it just, you know, sometimes you just go to like a you know, like a. Like a Goodwill or whatever. I'm not sure what you would call them in America. Just, you know, a
Salvation Army.
Army, I guess, yeah. And you just walk in there and they have, like, you know, fucking three rows of, like, fucking old vests. So you just, you know, go walking through there. It's, you know, not having a lot of money, you really got to, you know, be thrifty.
Yeah.
Or, you know, the right thing. And it's those places where you find the fucking coolest shit. Is in there because you
get
a big time store, and just for the, you know, for those arm gloves, I'm paying like fucking $80 for them, and I'm like, it's two pieces of fucking with some shit on it, you know, $80, you know, and they can run up to $120.
Right.
Well, you can make something, you know, easily, but with those armbands, like, you have to buy those. But the vests and stuff like that, those all can be found and purchased for like $5. So
yeah.
You walk into a store with $30 and come out with, you know. Seven different changes if you want.
Exactly.
So basically all the stuff that I wear is all the but the jeans, they're all girls. I can't fit into guys' jeans.
Just, really?
So they're all girls' jeans, and whoever's listening, fucking stop fucking laughing.
They're all wait a minute, they have skinny guy jeans. You can't even fit into the skinny guy jeans?
Well, you know, the skinny guy jeans, I'm not sure. I'm not about fucking hanging my fucking ass out the back of my jeans. I never...
Hey.
When I was younger, we always made fun of the old people. Like, hey, you can see his gaunchies! You can see his gaunchies! And now everybody's like, hey, take a look at my fucking gaunchies. Everybody, I got my fucking pants, you know, hanging below my ass. You know, and your fucking junk is just right where now your waist is. I don't understand that. I don't get it. I really don't get it. It went from the really baggy jeans and now into the skinnies, but they still hang off the ass. I thought girls liked fucking seeing guys as, you know, guys' asses in jeans.
I like to see a guy that has an ass.
You don't see fucking any country people, any country guys, and I'm not comparing Killinger to fucking, you know, Tim McGraw, but what I'm saying is that you don't see any of those motherfuckers hanging their fucking pants off. You know, I know it's a style sort of thing, but I don't understand why it is. And if somebody can explain that to me, send me an email, you know, Facebook, whatever the fuck, and please tell me what the fuck is going on, man, because I always assume, like, Laura, do you not like seeing a guy's fucking ass in jeans, or do you wonder what the ass looks like because it's hanging off the jeans? Go.
I just see, I don't like it when their underwear is like showing. I'm always going, how the hell are they holding those up, you know, or is there, are they just hard constantly, and they, it just stays, because it's like really baggy. I don't know how the guys, they have a belt on it and everything, but I have no idea how they keep them up. But no, I've seen actually some guys that actually have an ass in skinny jeans, and that looks pretty good. You don't have to hang them down or anything like that, but your ass looks quite nice, Dave.
I don't hang my jeans off. I wear them like... I wear jeans like they're supposed to be worn, put up and around your waist, you know? That's why it's called a waistband. It's not a fucking
right
ass
team.
Band, all right? Yeah, all
right. 1989.
Very, very cool drum skins that you got, the new ones that you got, Chris. I saw those. Who made those?
Company out of Cincinnati, Ohio called Vintage Logos. And the guy's name is Sean. He's freaking awesome. He's made a few sets for me now, and it's just original looking, you know? You can't get anything like that up here. Unless they're painted on, and it looks like shit once you paint it.
Looks cool.
VintageLogos.com, they're awesome.
Yeah, hey, you know what? You said that a few times, Chris, man. You should fucking get some free skins out of those.
Freebies on the next round, you're
damn
right.
Absolutely, fucking endorsement right now.
But down in Vegas, we're definitely going to hit the outlet mall. There's an outlet mall just off the strip, and man, they got some friggin' killer clothing there. I was there about 7 months ago, and... the little shopping. And I fucking totally forgot to bring that shit with me, too. I got some cool shit from Jay, too.
Well, I mean, really, what do you really wear, Chris, on stage? I mean, you don't have a shirt on. You just wear jeans, probably, right?
I just wear these little, not spandex, but either wear shorts or these little tights. I mean...
I think you should put the Killinger booty shorts on.
Oh, for fuck's sake. Stay
painting a bad picture right now. That's painting a bad picture right now in my head. You know, I got a cool vest. I can wear a cool vest with that. But not, I don't know, man. If you straighten out your arm, now everybody straighten out their arm and grab the skin on their elbow and pull it down. And then envision me in a pair of booty shorts, okay?
my fucking good God, that's your banana hammock. Not separate.
That's right.
Yeah.
All right, Dave, I'm going to get a little personal with you. You ready? Dave, I'm going to get a little personal with you for a minute. Is that all right? Well, I'm just saying, you got this single out, your number one single right now, Holding On, talking about a breakup and kind of a bad relationship, but I'm noticing that you kind of got a ballad also on this new album, and I don't know, it almost seems like a new, fresh beginning for you, that song Listen.
Oh, fuck, I just got fucking put on the spot, and I'm stumping here. My fucking good God. Well, you know, that song Listen... if I could say something about just the recording of it, and then I'll touch on the other part that you're asking. But the recording, what you hear on the album, is actually the singing on the demo was so good that we just left the demo version and put it into the final mix. It I think when we wrote that song, Kevin and I had written the lyrics for it. And we were sitting in the studio, and I just was having a hell of a time trying to, you know, get something out, something that was going to be, you know, feasible for the song. And I'm looking at, you know, Rick Plester, and I was like, dude, man, I don't know what to fucking do. I can't fucking get this out, man. Play it again. You know, run the track back for me, and I try something else. I'm like, fuck. You know, stop the track. Like, what, you know, I don't know. What are we going to tell fucking Kevin when he gets here, man? He goes, oh, you know what? You know, I'll talk to Kevin. I said, well, even that, man, we're going to be in fucking trouble. You know, I'm going to be in fucking trouble if I don't fucking have something here. You know, we're on the clock. You know, we need results. And he goes, well, I'll talk to Kevin. We'll just move on to something else. And I went, you know, like, Rick, fuck it, man. Play it one more time. And he pushed play, and I sang the whole song. And then he goes, do that again. And I did it one more time and got the lyrics right.
Mm-hmm.
And then the third time I did it, that's it. That's what you hear.
Wow. The
third time is that I did that. Now, on a personal level, you know, I guess there's, you know, everybody goes through breakups. Everybody gets a little bit, you know, jaded, especially when the breakups are really bad.
Right.
You know, and there's a lot of shit flying around. People won't leave you alone. You just try to move on, and some people are just... you know, just don't understand and have to be immature and stuff like that. So there's a lot of fucking drama that comes with, you know, just being in a band and trying to, you know, it's like all the shit that I've gone through. I don't think I would have gone through if I worked at a fucking Jiffy Lube or something like that, but and or whatever the fuck it is. I have no idea. But, you know, like I said, going through breakups and it just really fucking starting to wear on your soul. Like, you know, am I ever going to fucking find anything? And so that song, Listen, is meant for that if you just listen to your heart and you believe in yourself, you will find that fucking love that you're looking for.
Right.
I'm going to fucking cry.
No, I was welling up here, man. Like, hey, I love you, Chris.
I think I need a killing.
It's a very powerful song. I absolutely love it. I find it very epic, and I know once we start pushing that single on everybody, I know all the girls are going to jump on board. They're all going to fucking feel that shit.
Hey, Dave, you need to turn that alarm clock off, man.
Alarm clock?
What's that beeping noise? Is that you, Chris?
No.
Oh, I hear. Maybe it's on my end, but nothing's going off, huh? Well, I think I love ballads.
Sure.
I love ballads, Dave. So I think it's absolutely awesome that you guys played that on the CD. But I think I do need a Killinger shot after that whole story. There.
Oh yeah, the Killinger shot. Watch out, man.
What is in that?
Make your nipples pop.
What is in that? Tequila.
It's what? I heard it's like the Jaeger bomb, which I love. So
yeah,
that's
yeah. I'm
Red
not gonna
Bull.
Say what's in it. You know, there is an aphrodisiac in it. There is. It does come off tasting kind of like a Jaeger bomb. But yeah, they're designed to heighten your sexual senses while you're at a show.
Like, do you really need that if you're a chick? I mean, you're already kind of ready to go, don't you think?
Ah, fuck it, man. Push them over the edge, man. Kick them right into the pool. Everybody, let's get wet. Yeah.
All right, so now I've got a question for both of you guys real quick before we get out of here. I want to know what you guys learned working with these big names that you guys worked with. George Lynch, you had Mark from Bullet Boys, and James Lomenzo, and all the guys that you played with. What was something that you learned being a new band out there, getting started and stuff? What do you think that you learned from these guys?
I learned how to kick a gong.
You know, I mean, that's a good question. Go ahead, Chris.
There's really no difference, man. I mean, they're human. They're people. They play instruments.
Right.
And to be honest with you, I didn't really learn anything musically. I don't know. Man,
maybe I'm talking about like just.
Yeah, I mean, they party just the same as us. They travel the same way. They play the same way, just they do it on a larger scale.
Right.
It's like, they've been doing it. I mean, you know, the Icons, they've had their thing, but you know, in comparison of both bands, we go up and we do our shit, you know, and we've been doing it a long time. You know, it's just when they do it, you know, they've been doing it longer, and they've been doing it on a, you know, bigger, you know, more...
larger scale.
Larger scale, but they are just fucking musicians just like us. So it wasn't that we went in there and had a big learning experience. It was more of just, you know, letting them become human in front of us and being able to shake their hands, talk with them, bullshit with them, joke with them, and, you know, drink with them and hang out with them. It was,
we weren't.
You know, what James Lomenzo said to me after the Edmonton show, you know, I said, James, man, thank you so much, dude, fucking, you know, for being up there to share the stage with you and what you've done. You know, I followed you right from fucking White Lion, dude, and I just had an immense time, you know, immense time. Thank you so much, James. And James says, you know, you guys are fucking awesome, and you know what, both bands complement each other so well that, you know, I can see us playing again, so... You know, and then he winked at me and shook my hand, and like it's just like, wow, you know, he was totally fucking impressed. We really did treat those guys really good.
Yeah, you did.
Absolutely fucking organized and everything. So if we learned anything, I don't think we learned anything. I think it was Lynch Mob learned that they can fucking play with Killinger and not have to worry about a goddamn thing.
Right.
Exactly. I mean, we were just regular people, man. We weren't in awe. We weren't.
I was at the Calgary soundcheck. At the Calgary soundcheck, when I walked in, I went, "Holy fuck! It's fucking George Lynch on the fucking stage!" But then after that, I was okay. You know,
yeah.
Standing at the merch table and having friends, you'll go, "Holy fuck! It's fucking George Lynch, man! Dave, it's fucking George Lynch!" I'm like, "Yeah, it's fucking George Lynch. Will you calm the fuck down, dude? Fuck, man!" You know, after Calgary, it just became George. Just hang
right.
with George.
Right. Yeah. He's such a sweetheart. He's a very humble guy, very intelligent. I mean, he's been on the show before. I've never met him live. And, I mean, I was blushing just talking to him, but he's very, very intelligent. Very.
Absolutely intelligent. And I thought that his humor was on levels beyond me. I mean, I'm a fucking Family Guy through and through, right? But, you know, he's a little bit beyond that. His humor is really absolutely mature, and, you know, he would crack some jokes on the bus, and everybody would start laughing, and I'm like, okay, I don't know if that was funny, but I better fucking laugh. I'm an idiot here.
I had Mark just rolling, and he had said to our guitar player, he's like, holy fuck. This fucking Chris guy is funny, and he said, "You ain't." You know, I was pretty tame on the bus. I didn't want to act like an idiot, and
yeah.
I just had them giggling pretty good. By the time we hit Edmonton, and Kevin says, "Fuck, you think this is funny? You should see him on an airplane when he can't get away." But it was a great time, man. I mean, we're so looking forward to working with them again. So looking forward to heading down to Vegas and LA here in 2 weeks.
Yes,
you know, we'll most likely be at the Hard Rock Cafe on the 17th, Friday night, and then there's some other talk going on, but
I don't know if we should fucking say anything about that, Chris.
I think you need to break the news. Come on, I've been your biggest fans.
Some shows with a really, really big band is coming through Western Canada here next week.
Which is?
And so it would be next Wednesday that we would start the shows with them. I think it's four or five shows. If it goes down, we don't want to be like the boy who cried wolf here.
Well, you could say, and it might be with...
Well,
it might be with the band that's touring Western Canada in the next
week. Oh, damn you, Chris.
Big band. Yeah, big, huge fucking band. So I think we'd be playing Saskatoon, Calgary, Edmonton. What else is there? Winnipeg was
Winnipeg.
the first one. Yeah, so Winnipeg Cuba. Next Wednesday.
Yeah.
Yeah, Winnipeg, Saskatoon, 2 days off, Calgary, Edmonton, and then Vancouver. So this is another thing that is being worked on. You know, like I said, I don't want to be, you know, the band who fucking, you know, cries wolf here and says something that might not happen. This is just some of the stuff that comes, you know, our way that, you know, when we get the opportunity, we still have to fucking fight like everybody else.
Oh, yeah.
So it's not like anything is fucking given to us or anything is handed to us or we're just fucking throwing money around and buying our way. You know, it still fucking has to be proven through the live show, through the songs, you know, what your album sounds like, what you do on stage. So it would be the first band opening up. Well, I guess we'd open up for her, I guess. It's Joan Jett and Aerosmith.
Oh, really? Came out of the bag. I knew Dave was going to spill it eventually. He was going on and on. I knew it was coming out.
I'm sorry, but it's like I said, nothing is on paper yet. Like, I know these Vegas and L.A. shows are a little bit more solid as in the dealings that are going on right now than
Aerosmith,
but we're still trying for that, absolutely.
Oh, I completely understand. It's like me with interviews and stuff, too. I mean, I'm actually supposed to get Steven Tyler on as well, so...
Are you serious?
Oh, yeah.
See, all I wanted to do is, you know, I've been called, man, you never look like Steven Tyler most of my life.
Yeah.
Especially now that I'm getting... To where I'm at now, but I get called him a lot. Yeah, I always say I'm his little brother, and it gets me a lot of places, and it's very cool. But I've never been able to meet the guy. I think everybody else I know has met him and had a picture with him, but all I wanted was a picture with him this time around, you know, just to say hi.
So, Chris, I got to know, have you ever used that to your advantage and go, yes, I am. I am Steven Tyler.
I've been right at the table, man. Watch the waitress come up and go, you know who you look like? Yeah. Chris, I get pictures
all the time.
Keep it down. Don't let anybody know that I'm here, you know, but, you know, can we get any, like, free dessert or anything?
Oh, yeah. It definitely works to my advantage. We'll go to New York City. And we're driving around in a limousine, and I'll just crack the window halfway so you can see my eyes. And you can see the people's mouths in Manhattan say, Steven Tyler.
Wow.
It's pretty different, you know? I even had to bug Ted Jensen about it when we were there mastering the album. And, you know, have you seen my brother in a while? And he looks at me, your brother. And I said, yeah. Tyler. I'm like, yeah.
Do a little...
Use it to your advantage for sure.
Do a little Steven Tyler for us, Chris.
I can't sing a fucking note.
Come on, I'm back!
Dave cut me on this one, but no, I can't do nothing. I just play drums and look like Steven Tyler, so...
You know, he's going to be the new judge for American Idol 2011.
Totally, you know, so I'll even get called Steven Tyler even more so all these young people will know who he is, because a lot of people, you know, in the younger generation don't know who Steven Tyler is, so...
That's hard
to say. It's just going to be freaking phenomenal for me, yeah. This is great, yeah. Great.
Not to say anything bad about Steven Tyler right now, but I'm going to.
Lord.
He's looking a little old, isn't he?
Come on.
He is, man. He's looking a little old.
I think he still looks great. I really do.
He came over with a limousine, and there's some fucking bulldog pushing and shoving going around. You couldn't really get a good look at him, and then he turned around, and he looked like fucking a... fucking dried pumpkin.
Yeah, he's
like,
getting up there, man.
Fucking no way, Steve. Are you okay? He's the fucking crypt keeper. That's how you know what. But you know, what the hell is the guy? Is he 68 or something like that?
62.
I think he's holding up pretty good. I'm a big fan of his.
He's still a god. I'm not saying. Like, I'm just saying, fucking Steve. You know, fucking. I think it's time for one of those fucking nip tucks.
Yeah, you would think, I mean, with the money, that they would do a lot more of that, some of the people that are still out there and stuff. I think Ozzy did it.
Ozzy did it. Oh, yeah. Gene Simmons did it. I mean, right on the show, so, He's about ready. He's about ready for that. Even just, if somebody can just get some duct tape and put it on his cheek.
Come on, Dave. All right. Quit dissing my Steven, man. All right, you guys. Well, I think you guys are just doing an amazing job out there. I'm so proud of you, Dave.
You.
Chris, it's so great to talk to you finally and find out what's going on with you and the band, being a new member in the band. And I'm so proud of you guys. You're just really shooting off so quickly out there. And I think this reverence and respect that you guys have given to these bands that, you know, you grew up listening to, the Lynch Mob and stuff, I think that's going to go a long way. I think that's going to take you far because they're going to remember that. And I think it's definitely going to be sewed right back into you.
And it's absolutely. People like yourself, though, too. I mean, it's being able to get interviews with people like yourself. I mean, you guys are all helping us out as well, and we can't thank you enough for that. I mean,
you're welcome.
To be able to do 2-3 interviews a week and just get the name out there, whether it's 200 people or 2,000 or 20,000 people that are listening, at least the name Killinger is getting out there.
Exactly. You know?
That'll help, so thank you.
You're so welcome. I mean, I'm passionate about the music. I played the drums, actually, Chris, when I was about 15. And
last year?
Huh?
Last year?
Not last year. Yeah, you're funny.
That was a compliment.
I was never a professional. I was just the one that would turn the radio on, you know, in the back, whatever shack my grandmother had, and just turn the tunes. I played by ear and stuff, but it was fun. But I just always loved rock and roll, and it just means so much to me to be able to promote the bands out there and the internet. I mean, you just couldn't do this stuff back in the day on FM radio, and I mean, it was so hard to get on radio and so hard to get internationally known, you know. So this internet thing has just been—it's been great, I think, for bands and radio.
It does make our life a lot easier because it's definitely hard to get into mainstream commercial radio, very hard. And we're moving forward. We're doing it. You know, our production company in Toronto is doing a great job. We're moving up the charts on the Much Loud. It's like MTV down there, and
CD sales in Japan.
CD sales. Yeah,
it's all working out absolutely. But like I said, it is absolutely hard work, and having a sound business plan, and also getting the right people involved. And especially when you do get those people involved, you treat them like fucking goddamn platinum. Fuck the gold shit, man. You treat them like fucking platinum, and that comes back to you, you know, 100-fold. You know, that talk, the good talk out of those people's mouths about the band.
Exactly.
You know, it pays back fucking tenfold. So
definitely getting guys involved like Mike Fraser, Ted Jensen, you know, to work on the album to make it sound so big and so good. It's just unheard of 10 years ago. You couldn't even freaking get those guys' email.
Right.
You know, now they're everybody needs to work. So what a freaking perfect time for us to get these kind of people involved. So
Well, you guys are so much fun, man. You know, we love you guys. We're always promoting Killinger over here at Metalhead Radio. And we definitely want you guys back again. You know, we'd love to have the whole band even one day. And keep us posted on the upcoming shows. And tell the fans out there real quick, again, how they can go pick up the brand new self-titled CD, Killinger, out there. And I want you guys to pick out one of your songs that I'm going to play next. And I'm going to let you guys announce that.
All right. Well, you can go to KillingerRocks.com. It is your one-stop shop for everything that is Killinger. You can go right into the store, buy yourself the hard copy. We do have a selection of merchandise, and we do have toques. So if you're Canadian or it's a little bit cold, you put the toque on your head, saves your head from freezing right the fuck off in the wintertime. So we do have toques. Yeah, pick that up. There is the iTunes. You can get ringtones now. I believe one of the songs that we have, Crazy Things, I do a thing right at the start. So that is now a ringtone that you can put on your cell phones and your iPhones and whatever the fuck you got out there, iPads, fucking knee pads, whatever the hell it is. And also, you know, please join the MySpace, and we are updating with stuff that is going on with the band. And of course, Laura, we would love to be back on the show after we do the Vegas thing.
All right, sounds good. I hope you guys survive that.
3 weeks, yeah, absolutely. We'd love to come back and tell you everything that's going on. And it's a great thing to be able to do this with you, Laura, because it seems like everybody that listens, they get to kind of live with the band and
exactly.
travel with us and get to live it, and see what's going on, the natural progression of everything.
Exactly.
We'd love to come back on.
All right, very cool. So what guys do you want me to pull from the CD right now?
I want my favorite Sky. I want my favorite song.
Wait, all right, get it out there.
This guy.
Oh, wait, no, they already played this guy.
No, that's okay. I'll play it again.
Well, then you have to play two now.
Okay, that's no problem. We'll do a double shot of Killinger. We got the sky, and what do you want, Dave?
Last song on the album, Illuminati.
Illuminate.
Awesome.
All right, I got a double shot of Killinger coming up. You guys are the best. Keep it metal out there on the road. Take care, and take care of yourselves, man. Dave, I know you're a party animal, man, but you just take care of yourself as well, okay? And you too, Chris.
Don't worry. I've got somebody that's cracking the whip for me. Don't worry. I'm good now. Yeah.
All right. Well, give a big shout out. I want a big shout out from both of you guys out there to the fans real quick.
It's Metalhead Radio, DJ Lovely Laura Lair, Crazy Dave Killinger.
There we go.
All right, Chris,
hey, is this Chris? Hey, Chris, how long you been there, dude? Hey,
what's going on? I'm here, man. I'm fucking avoiding the street cleaner. The fucking, I don't know how many times this guy's got to go up and down my street, and it's freaking loud as hell. There we go.
All right.
Awesome. Oh, yeah, now he's licking at me like
a... You got to do a shout-out, dude. Fucking do a shout-out and fucking, you know, you have to do some Metalhead.
Dave's directing, Chris.
Yeah, and
that's right, guys and gals. You're listening to Metalhead Radio. Chris Chalice coming to you live from Killinger's lair in Cowtown, Calgary, Alberta, Canada.
Killinger? And after, hold on, no, that's wrong. You have to say DJ Lovely Laura.
DJ Lovely Laura's lair.
Yes.
All right, we're going to do this off the air, guys.
In my lair.
The lair in underwear.
All right, you guys, hang on just a second. Once again, you guys, that was the Crazy Fun Guys, Canadian rockers, Killinger, and they have a brand new CD out. Once again, go pick it up. We've been playing tons of stuff off the CD. Every song on it is just amazing, and I'm so proud of these guys that play with Lynch Mob. They're heading to Vegas very soon, and once again, go over there to KillingerRocks.com. Pick it up today, and I want you guys to stick around because we got some more great tunes coming up next. There's a double shot of the boys.